Chapter 23. It is believed by many that the military life is one of adventure and excitement. In truth, that life more often consists of long periods of routine, even boredom, with only brief intervals of challenge and danger. Enemies seldom seek out their opponents. The warrior must become a hunter, searching and stalking with craft and patience. Successes are often achieved by a confluence of small things, stray facts, unwary or overheard conversations, logistical vectors. If the hunter is persistent, the pattern will become visible and the enemy will be found. Only then will the routine be broken by combat. It's not surprising, therefore, that those seeking excitement sometimes weary of long and arduous pursuits. They are relieved when the enemy appears of his own accord, standing firm and issuing a challenge. But the wise warrior is especially wary at those times. He knows there are few things more dangerous than a skilled enemy on his own carefully chosen ground.
Code cylinders, please,
the door warden said.
Her voice is brisk and formal, but her face shows suspicion.
Here, Vanto said, handing over both his cylinder and Thrawn's.
The warden takes the first and slips it into the ID reader. The confirmation procedure takes longer than usual. Perhaps she doesn't believe that the IDs are genuine. Vanto notices the delay as well.
Is there a problem, warrant officer?
No problem, Commander.
Her face still holds suspicion as she returns the cylinders. But she does not hold enough doubt to summon assistance.
You're cleared to enter, Commander Vanto.
Another brief, but noticeable hesitation.
As are you, Admiral Thrawn.
They pass through the doorway into the High Command headquarters.
I wonder what it is this time,
Vanto murmured as they made their way among the other Navy personnel, hurrying about their appointed tasks.
The pattern of communications during the past 4 days indicates that the 103rd and the 125th task forces have also been summoned,
Thrawn said.
I conclude a major mission is being planned.
Interesting, Vanto said.
How much sifting through the chatter did it take to dig out those bits of information?
Not much, Thrawn assured him.
There are patterns in Imperial communications, as there are in everything else. Once the pattern is known, knowledge is easier to obtain.
That's quite a skill, Vanto said.
It would take me hours with a computer and matrix sheet to get anywhere.
The rest of the group was waiting, seated in a half circle in front of a holo projector with their backs to the newcomers as Thrawn and Vanto arrived. 4 of those in attendance were Navy officers, and 4 were civilians, the latter dressed in upper-class governmental style. There were 2 empty seats between the officers and the civilians. Standing at one side of the projector was Fleet Admiral Danasius.
His expression is controlled, but his body stance holds tension.
Standing at the opposite side was Colonel Yularen.
His face and stance also hold tension, though he conceals it better than Danasius.
Admiral Thrawn,
Danasius said, nodding gravely in greeting as Thrawn and Vanto approached the ring of seats.
May I introduce Admiral Durrell of the ISD Judicator and the 103rd Task Force, Admiral Kinshara of the ISD Stalwart and the 125th, Admiral Thrawn of the ISD Chimera, recently assigned the 96th.
Honored,
Thrawn said, nodding greetings as he and Vanto passed the end of the row.
Kinshara returns the greeting politely, his expression holding no rancor or ill will. Durrell's expression and body stance hold displeasure at the presence of a non-human. The other two officers, one a captain, the other a commander, hold the normal courtesy and wariness of aides meeting an unknown flag officer for the first time.
And these are the governors of the relevant systems,
Danasius continued.
Governor Ristos of Baton, Governor Wistran of Tanash, Governor Easthorn of Salmon.
The fourth governor in the line is unexpected.
And Governor Price of Lothal.
Honored,
Thrawn repeated.
It is good to see you again, Governor Price.
Likewise, Price said.
Her expression is cool, her voice professional, but her body stance holds a hidden tension.
I wish it could have been under more pleasant circumstances.
Circumstances you've been called upon to deal with,
Danasius said.
His voice holds grim concern.
Sit down, please, and we'll get right to it. Colonel Yularen?
Thank you, Admiral,
Yularen said. He tapped a key on his remote, and a hollow of a section of the outer rim appeared.
Baton Sector,
he identified.
We've been noting a rise in criminal and insurgent activities here for the past several months. Up until now, it was assumed to be the usual random flailings of malcontents. However, we now have indications that some of these groups may be starting to work together, or at least to share information and coordinate plans. None of them is much above nuisance level, but we feel this is a trend we need to stamp out before it spreads.
How deep is this cooperation?
Thrawn asked.
Not very at the moment,
Yularen said.
Insurgent groups are paranoid, practically by definition, and they typically don't trust one another any more than they trust their own governments. But as I say, they're starting to talk.
So we need to shut them up, Price said.
A question, Colonel,
Governor Ristos put in.
There are four governors here, representing four affected systems. Yet I see the commanders of only three task forces. May I ask which of our systems you're planning to ignore?
The insurgents of Lothal are already being dealt with by Admiral Constantine,
Danasius said.
Governor Price requested to be here as an observer, since her system is close to the area of concern and is experiencing much of the same trouble.
I see,
Ristos said, eyeing Price with a look of suspicion.
As long as Baton will be getting sufficient attention.
Absolutely, Governor,
Yularen said.
In fact, we're going to start with your world, since it seems to be the focal point for activity in the sector. If we can push back the insurgents there, the other groups should wither away.
What do you mean, push back?
Wistran asked.
Where are you pushing back from?
At the moment, from a place called Scrim Island, 300 kilometers west of Baton's main continent,
Yularen said.
5 days ago, a group of insurgents overran and took command of the Imperial garrison there. They're holding at least 100 hostages, mostly Navy troopers and techs, but also some civilian workers. They have full control of the island's energy shield, its shoreline defenses, and three of its ion cannons. Admiral Thrawn, this one will be yours.
Have you a schematic of the facility?
Thrawn asked.
Certainly.
The hollow changed to an aerial view of Scrim Island.
You said there were three ion cannons,
Thrawn said.
Yet I see 8 fortified emplacements along the shoreline.
The last status report about 6 weeks ago stated that 5 of the cannons were awaiting replacement Cathtron tubes,
Yularen said.
Which 5?
Irrelevant, I'm afraid,
Yularen said.
The insurgents have had enough time to switch out the 3 functioning tubes, so we don't know which 3 cannons are operational.
Shouldn't matter,
Admiral Durrell said.
He waves a hand in casual dismissal.
You're not going to breach from above anyway. Best approach is by low-altitude incursion.
The shoreline defenses are more than adequate to repel even a sizable attack,
Thrawn pointed out.
You haven't been in the Navy long, have you?
Durrell asked.
His tone holds condescension. His gaze drops to the new Admiral's insignia plaque. His expression holding disapproval and resentment.
If you had, you'd know that if more than half the island's ion cannons are down, then at least half the shore defenses are too. A few assault boats worth of stormtroopers and it'll be over.
Perhaps, Thrawn said. I will need more time to study the situation.
There is no time,
Danasius said.
Every hour the garrison is held, the reputation of the Empire is tarnished a little more. Your orders are to proceed at once to Baton and release the insurgents' hold on Scrim.
His lip twists.
Destroy the island if you have to, but remove the rebels.
Destroying the island would also kill the hostages, Thrawn said. There are better ways, but they require more reconnaissance and planning. The room is silent. The other's body stances hold disapproval and discomfort.
Very well,
Danasius said.
His voice is stiff.
If you don't think you can handle it, the 96th can go to Salmon instead. Would that assignment be more to your liking?
I will go wherever the Navy wishes, Thrawn said.
You've had enough time with the 96th to operate smoothly together?
I have, Admiral.
Very well. Admiral Durrell, you seem confident that the rebels on Scrim can be easily neutralized. Your 103rd will deal with them.
With pleasure,
Durrell said.
His voice holds eagerness and gloating.
Good.
Danasius gestures to Yularen, his expression holding disappointment.
Colonel Yularen, you may continue your briefing.
You disapprove of my decision,
Thrawn said, as he and Eli walked down the outer steps toward the landing pad where their transport waited.
I think everyone disapproved of your decision, sir, Eli said sourly. Whatever capital you might have had with the High Command, I think you just burned it.
For the moment,
Thrawn said calmly, pulling out his data pad and keying it on.
That will change.
I don't see how,
Eli said, trying to see what Thrawn was doing. Images were flashing across the data pad's display, but from Eli's angle, he couldn't get any details.
Admiral Durrell seemed awfully certain he could take back the island.
Admiral Durrell is always certain of himself,
Thrawn said.
But he has a tendency to value speed over precision. Sometimes that serves him well. More often, it leads to miscalculation.
You think this is one of those miscalculations?
I'm certain of it,
Thrawn said.
And that failure would be costly, both to his task force and to him personally.
Wonderful,
Eli muttered. More men and women hurt or killed because of the arrogance of their superiors.
Should we say something?
I did say something,
Thrawn reminded him.
I said the situation required more study.
Should we just let him and the 103rd walk into the wall?
Admiral Durrell has taken a stand,
Thrawn said.
We have offered advice. He has not taken it. We must now stand aside and allow him to test his confidence.
I suppose,
Eli said, craning his neck.
The images were still flowing across Thrawn's datapad. May I ask what you're doing, sir?
Studying Samani art,
Thrawn told him.
I need a better sense of the culture.
They were in sight of the landing platform by the time Thrawn finally put the datapad away. They walked toward their shuttle, and Eli winced with fresh embarrassment at how pathetic their nondescript light freighter looked, tucked in among the more impressive Lambda shuttles of the other admirals. He still didn't know why Thrawn had chosen that particular craft, one they'd taken from their most recently defeated smuggler gang, instead of bringing his own Lambda. Eli's best guess had been that he'd hoped to show it off as a trophy to the other admirals. Somehow he'd never gotten around to that.
You disapprove of my choice of transport as well.
Eli glared sideways at him.
Do you have to do that? I find it tends to bypass unnecessary conversation,
Thrawn said, pulling out his comlink.
Admiral Thrawn for Commander Pharaoh.
Yes, Admiral,
the Chimera's new captain said briskly.
Have we orders, sir?
We do, Commander, Thrawn said. You are to take the task force to Salmon. There is insurgent activity there that we are tasked with eliminating.
Yes, sir,
Pharaoh said, a hint of uncharacteristic uncertainty in her voice.
You say I'm to take the force? You won't be with us?
That is correct,
Thrawn confirmed.
Commander Vanto and I have an errand elsewhere.
I see,
Pharaoh said. She was still getting used to being the Chimera's captain, Eli knew, and he could tell she wasn't entirely happy about being thrown into a mission this soon without her admiral there to watch over her shoulder. But her usual self-confidence was already starting to reassert itself.
Very well, Admiral. Any specific instructions?
Of course, Thrawn said. You will enter this system at a distance and disperse the rest of the task force. You will then bring the Chimera in close to Salmon and demand surrender of the insurgents. Our intelligence indicates that they are protected from ground or air assault, but their shields and bunkers are unlikely to withstand Star Destroyer turbolasers for long.
So I'm to threaten an attack, but the real goal is to drive them out of their positions?
Exactly, Thrawn said. You may need to fire a few times to persuade them to abandon their stronghold, but you should not have to utterly destroy it. The task force may also need to destroy some of the fleeing ships, but you should be able to capture the majority undamaged.
What if they head instead to other locales on the planet itself?
I think that unlikely, Thrawn said. Their first instinct will be to seek the safety and darkness of space.
Understood, sir,
Pharaoh said. She was with the plan now, and Eli had no doubt she would carry it to completion. For all her casual attitude toward proper decorum, she was smart enough and generally knew what she was doing.
If there's one thing they won't get out there, it's safety.
Very good, Commander, Thrawn said. Before you depart for Salmon, detach the Chirac for my use. Inform Captain Brento that I'll speak with her privately once I've decided on her course of action.
Yes, sir. Shall I report when I've completed my mission, or shall I wait for you to initiate contact?
The latter would be best, Thrawn said. Good hunting to you.
And to you, Admiral.
Thrawn returned the comlink to his belt.
And now to our errand, he said.
Yes, sir,
Eli said.
Are we treading on dangerous ice here, sir? Danasius ordered us to go to Salmon.
Not precisely,
Thrawn assured him.
Fleet Admiral Danasius said the 96th was to deal with the insurgency there. No specific mention was made of you or me.
Eli grimaced. A fine distinction, and one he doubted anyone involved would appreciate. But Thrawn was an admiral, and Eli was a commander, and he'd been given his orders.
Yes, sir,
he said. May I ask where we're going?
To Baton, of course,
Thrawn said.
Admiral Durrell is convinced he'll have no difficulty capturing Scrim Island. I am interested in seeing if he is correct.
Standard siege array,
Vanto murmured. His tone held interest and alertness, but so far he was withholding judgment on Admiral Durrell's tactics.
No obvious response yet from the island.
They may be negotiating,
Thrawn pointed out.
The ships are indeed set out in a siege array, but it is not precisely standard. Two of the light cruisers are farther out from the Judicator than normal, and Dural has launched no starfighter screen. We wouldn't pick up a tight comm signal from here.
True, Vanto agreed.
I keep expecting someone to notice us and order us away.
Our transponder identifies us as a properly licensed freighter,
Thrawn reminded him.
There is a ping from one of Dural's screening corvettes. The freighter's transponder pings back. A moment of hesitation. One final ping, and then the corvette ceases further inquiry. They no doubt assume we're waiting to assess the extent of the battle before committing ourselves to resume travel toward the surface.
Yes, Vanto said wryly. Lucky for us, you had the foresight to pick this as our transport.
He raised his eyebrows. Or was it luck? Did you pull something out of the comm traffic that made you suspect we might need something lower key than a military Lambda?
I had some suspicions, Thrawn said.
Vanto's insight and perception had grown remarkably over the years. He saw many of the patterns now, quickly grasping the underlying reasons and motivations. The deeper reasons still sometimes eluded him, but there was time. The young commander's tactical abilities continued to grow, though Vanto himself was not fully aware of his progress. The focus now would be on improving his observation and training his mind to assemble data and reach conclusions more quickly. In battle, such reflexive decisions often mean the difference between victory and defeat.
There is a series of flashes from the distant task force.
First salvo away, Vanto announced. Full turbo lasers from the Judicator. Island's energy shield looks like it's holding.
Any reduction in strength?
Not that these sensors can detect from here,
Vanto said, his forehead furrowed in concentration.
Second salvo away. Third salvo away. Looks like Dural's got all his ships firing now. Still no response from the insurgents.
That will soon change, Thrawn said. The screening corvettes are now being brought closer to the Star Destroyer, as Dural responds to his initial failure to destroy the island's shield.
By ordering fire from all of his ships, Dural has now demonstrated their full capabilities, and has also close-marked all their positions, Vanto pointed out. If the island's commander is smart, he'll counterattack before those positions change. And there they go. Shields seem to be contracting. I can see bits of the western and southern shorelines. Dural's still pounding at the center.
On the main display, two streams of red-tinged green bursts shoot up from the edges of the island.
Ion fire! Vanto snapped. Direct hits on the Judicator!
Incapacitated? Thrawn asked. The light cruisers and frigates have opened fire again as Dural orders their turbolasers to target the ion cannons on the northern and western shorelines.
But the action was too late. The shield edge had expanded again, following the ion cannon salvos, and the turbolaser bolts spattered harmlessly away. The escort ships continued firing, some at the now protected ion cannons, others at the center of the shield, in an attempt to overload the generator.
Now Dural's just flailing, Vanto muttered,
his earlier withholding of judgment turning rapidly to scorn.
Probably ordered everyone to keep firing while he tries to get his systems running again. Okay, shield's contracting again. This time it's the northern shoreline opening up.
Again, Dural fails to notice or react. The escort ships continue to fire uselessly toward the western and southern emplacements as an ion cannon on the northern shoreline opens fire.
Damn! Vanto breathed. Perfect timing. Whoever's in charge down there is good.
Damage? Thrawn asked.
The latest ion blast had targeted the frigate and two cruisers on the Judicator's portside flank, sending sputtering sheets of energy across their hulls, damaging sensors and turbolaser targeting and control systems.
Hits on the port side escorts, Vanto reported.
They'll be down to secondary weapons and auxiliary drives now. Probably can still get out of there if Dural releases them. But another blast or two in the right places, and they'll be drifting.
Again, Dural continues his ineffective attack instead of adjusting to his opponent's tactics. The escorts are still holding position as another ion salvo shoots upward from the island.
But this time, as the burst raked across the same group of escorts, a stream of 8 small space freighters appeared from beneath the eastern edge of the shield and headed toward the continent 300 kilometers away.
Judicator's definitely lost his turbo lasers, Vanto said grimly. Might still have auxiliary drive, maybe enough to get clear.
Dural's not trying, though. The 2 light cruisers and frigate that took that last attack seem to have been immobilized.
An attack focused on the Judicator and the escorts on Dural's portside flank, Thrawn said. The freighters continue to fly low over the water. Their commander continually veers the group back and forth, taking advantage of both the minimal cloud cover and the reflected sunlight glare to achieve minimal observability from above.
The flank opposite to the direction he sent his freighters.
Freighters?
Vanto asked, frowning.
Where?
Flying eastward from the island, Thrawn said. Running low and on minimal power, which renders them largely invisible to ships already under ion attack.
And to ships that aren't under attack but are concentrating all their attention on the ships that are, Vanto said.
Okay, I've got them now. I fell for the trick too.
He looked at Thrawn.
I gather you were expecting it?
It was one possible reason the starboard escorts were being ignored at the expense of the portside ships, Thrawn said.
Interesting, though.
Standard procedure would have been the exact opposite. To target the escorts on the Judicator's starboard side in order to minimize response to the freighter's departure.
It's a long way to the continent, Vanto pointed out.
No point in getting clear if everyone knows you're on the way and where you're going.
Yes. 7 of the freighters are still traveling eastward at wave top altitude. The 8th, now effectively clear of the battle zone, is rising towards space. An interesting moment for the commander to split his convoy.
Which raises the question of where they are going. In particular, the one that's broken off and is heading into space.
Your analysis?
Vanto pondered a moment.
I can't tell from here whether those are freighters or personnel carriers, he said slowly. But there's no reason for them to ship people off the island in the middle of a battle, either their own forces or their hostages. So, freighters.
One obvious reason for taking Scrim is all the military ordnance stored there. So those ships probably represent everything that wasn't fused to the ground.
7 to insurgent cells on the mainland. 1 to Dinash or Salmon?
Or to elsewhere, Thrawn said.
Yes.
Vanto leaned closer to the sensor display.
Shield shifting again.
Looks like they're going to give the Judicator another blast.
But this time, it wasn't an ion cannon burst that shot upward from the island's western shoreline. Instead, it was the intense green fire of a turbo laser salvo from an emplacement to the north of the western ion cannon. The barrage struck the Judicator's starboard superstructure, burning into and through the hull metal.
Vanto caught his breath. Damn, a turbo laser?
Danasius never said the island had functional turbo lasers.
He may not have known. A second burst of fire shimmers through the atmosphere, again delivering its energy against Dural's flagship. Again, Dural makes no move to counter or evade.
The freighter angling away from the planet is likely to make the jump to light speed soon. Hail it.
Vanto shot him a startled look.
You want me to hail it?
Yes, Thrawn said. A tight comm signal, of course, to keep the conversation private. We're the Slipknot, and you're a weapons smuggler named Horatio Figg.
Vanto's momentary confusion cleared into understanding.
So that's the real reason you put us in a captured smuggling ship. Am I buying or selling? Whichever will gain us an invitation to visit his base. An invitation to his base?
Vanto took a deep breath.
Okay, here we go.
He keyed the comm and adjusted for tight beam.
Unidentified freighter. This is the freighter Slipknot,
he called.
Looks like you're scorching out of here. Need any assistance?
There was no response.
Again,
Thrawn said quietly. Vanto nodded.
Let me try it another way, freighter. I'm guessing you have some fresh merchandise. I'm also guessing you want to keep it. You want to be civil? Or you want me to call you out to the imps?
Don't even think about it, Slipknot.
The voice is dark and angry, holding both suspicion and threat.
Not thinking it,
Vanto assured him.
Just trying to start a friendly conversation. If I'm right about your current cargo, there might be something there I could take off your hands.
Forget it. Already spoken for.
Fine,
Vanto said.
In that case, maybe you'd like to add a little frosting to your new cake.
There was a long pause.
You deal?
The voice still holds suspicion, but also now holds cautious interest.
A little of everything,
Vanto told him.
Since you hit a military base and not a spice dealer, I'm guessing you're mostly interested in weapons. So, arms dealer it is. You in the market or aren't you?
There was another silence from the other end.
We might be. The boss says he's willing to talk.
A light flickered on the board.
I've sent you the coordinates. Jump whenever you're ready.
Got it,
Vanto said.
Be right there.
Vanto cut off the comm channel.
Well, we either fooled him or we didn't,
Vanto said.
What now? We prepare to follow,
Thrawn said.
You mean, right now?
Vanto asked.
What about the Judicator?
A third turbo laser salvo rakes the Star Destroyer. The four undamaged escort ships fire toward the weapon, but once again, are too late, as the island's shield closes over it. There is a pattern to the attacks, but Durrell fails to recognize or exploit it. There's no aid we can render,
Thrawn said.
I've already transmitted an emergency distress signal on Admiral Durrell's behalf. Our efforts are best directed elsewhere.
Understood,
Vanto said, frustrated, but recognizing the reality of the situation.
The shield shrinks again, this time opening the eastern shoreline. The escort ships alter their aim, directing a fresh attack against the ion cannon emplacements now exposed. It is much the same response Durrell has already attempted several times. But as anticipated, the island commander now changes tactics. No ion cannon blasts come. Instead, as the Imperial ships continue to fire, the shield shrinks again from the western shoreline, unnoticed by the preoccupied and battered Imperial ships. The escorts are still firing at the eastern emplacements, when a new barrage of ion fire from the western emplacement silences their weapons.
Odd,
Vanto said.
Explain. Our friend in the freighter,
Vanto said.
He's far enough out to jump, but he hasn't. Wonder if he's having trouble with his hyperdrive.
Perhaps,
Thrawn said.
What other possibilities are there?
He could be waiting to see how the battle goes,
Vanto suggested,
grabbing as much data as he can before jumping. Or he could be sending or receiving some last-minute instructions.
The freighter abruptly flickered with pseudo-motion and was gone.
I guess he got all he wanted,
Vanto said.
So now we follow?
On the island, the shield once again shrinks to expose the insurgents' turbo laser. But the Imperial ships are no longer in a position to respond in a sufficiently timely manner.
As before, the Judicator is the target of the attack. Neutralize, attack, feint, attack. It was an efficient pattern, carried out with expert timing.
You're having doubts?
I don't know,
Vanto said slowly.
He gave up those coordinates awfully easily. This could be a trap.
True,
Thrawn said.
On the other hand, I doubt he would be foolish enough to offer his base's true location. More likely, we have a rendezvous point where we can be studied more closely.
Not sure that sounds any better.
There are risks, Thrawn said. The outcome will depend on how eagerly they want new weapons. Allow me to suggest one other possible reason for him to have delayed his departure. Tell me, what are the other 7 freighters doing?
The other... Oh, right. The rest of the group.
Vanto readjusted the sensors.
Still heading for the continent. Only... Interesting. Their vectors are diverging. They're not headed for the same place anymore, but seem to be going to 7 different spots.
If there were an Imperial observer watching, he would now be offered a choice,
Thrawn said.
He could attempt to follow the 8th freighter into space, or remain here and track the 7 to the insurgents' other strong points.
After the 8th drew all the attention to himself, Vanto said,
good chance he's out there somewhere waiting to see how quickly we follow him.
Or if we follow him at all,
Thrawn said.
If you were in command, which would you choose? The 1 or the 7?
The island's turbolaser blast continued to batter the Judicator, tearing at its hull and weapons. The ion cannons have again opened fire, sending fresh barrages at the escort ships, preventing them from moving to assist.
I'd probably go with... Wait a minute,
Vanto said with sudden understanding.
I don't have to choose, do I? You already guessed we'd need backup, which is why you detached the Chirac from the 96th. I assume it's lurking around here somewhere?
It is indeed,
Thrawn said.
Excellent. Captain Brento is observing the planet, including those 7 freighters. We may therefore turn our attention to the 8th freighter.
Yes.
Vanto gave the sensor display one final look, clearly reluctant to leave the 103rd locked in desperate battle.
All right, let's do it.